that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. A few years ago, stop me if you've heard this, I visited some priests and faithful in Argentina on December the 8th, the Immaculate Conception. It's full summer down there now in the southern hemisphere, and it was hot and humid, I remember, already at 9 o'clock in the morning when one of the priests announced to me, "Se cortó la luz," there's no power. My first thought was, how interesting is the use of the reflexive in Spanish? No power, though. I had already figured that one out on my own in the shower that morning. Now, taking a shower in the southern hemisphere is always a dicey affair down there. My shower turned icy in a hurry. Well, there were 100 children to be confirmed that morning, and no lights and no fans and no mic for the sermon, which is, well, that's no big deal. We can certainly survive. It's a little bit of penance, and that's always a good perspective to keep in mind when our country, too, slips like Argentina into third world status. And you wonder, was that done as well on purpose? Well, a generator was eventually produced, but it too cut in and out during all the services that morning. That's the word I'm looking for today. Cut. To cut. Jesus only received his holy name, which means in the Hebrew, God saves, after a symbolic bit of his sacred flesh was cut by the Old Testament priest, the first of our Savior's 7 blood sheddings, just a few drops. And this is how Jesus is Jesus, how God saves. St. Paul says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The shedding of the blood of the firstborn son. We, symbolically, sacramentally, are plunged into the infinite ocean of the mercy of God, the precious blood, when those few drops of baptismal water flow over our head at the font. But the saved must cooperate in the saving. We must cut, and it's always painful, with the slavery of sin. Always the sacrifice, always the sacrifice of our salvation, our redemption. As of old, we were bought back. We must not now sell our souls into sin or permit some would-be master to put us on the market. In our Mass Thanksgiving prayer today, that's called the post-communion, we ask God the Father to look upon us to accept with a kindly countenance this, the Mass we have just offered, which we have just offered to His Majesty in honor of the holy name of His Son, Jesus Christ. There's a wisdom here, connecting the kindly face of the Father with the saving name of the Son. We learn a person's basic identity from his name. You have a name, not a number. You're not the job you do. You have a name that's your identity. It's yours. It must not be taken away from you. And it often does tell something about you. In any case, if you associate the name of the face, it's so much easier to remember people's names. The face is in turn if you can still see it. See the problem here? The face in turn often reveals someone's heart, his emotions, his character, his personality. See what today's feast and January's devotion does. The holy name of Jesus draws us to his holy face. And that sacred countenance, at once so beautiful and so bruised beyond recognition, this suffering face reveals the love of his heart, his sacred heart. Philip, he who sees me, sees also the Father, our Lord said at the Last Supper. The holy face of Jesus, who is God saves, the holy face of Jesus shows us the infinite kindness of what Scripture calls him Abba, Daddy, the Father. That is how we are meant to see him. That's his name. So see then how our devotions are all linked into one, like beads on a chain, a rosary of God's dealings with man, beginning with the great buyback, which is our redemption. But there's another bidder out there for mankind who would roll back the buyback if he could, redemption, and annul it, and put us all and our children on the market as slaves, branded forever now genetically with a jab to be controlled and monitored and influenced constantly. I learned recently that the most lucrative and profitable of all industries and investments is slavery. Jesus' blood, from the first drops of the circumcision to the last drops of Calvary, his blood bought us back from Satan's slavery. And the devil has resented it ever since. Our Lady says that the thrones of the fallen angels in heaven are now ours. How is it that our lives, our liberty, are all on the block and being sold to the highest bidder, the biggest millionaire, billionaire maybe, or some other secret ruler we don't even know or dare to say his name? How did that happen, do you think? Our enslavement to sin is, of course, a constant threat, but I'm thinking of the practical history of modern life in the last generation or so, the convenience of it and more. It's a means of knowledge and of communication. It is daily work for many. It is perhaps your life as well as your livelihood. I speak of the web, the World Wide Web. Did you ever think about that word, web? A web is spun by a spider for his convenience, to catch a fly and hold it there until the predator grows hungry. Is that, do you think, the revelation of the method? Maybe it's not the abuse of the web, but the web itself, which was our downfall. So helpful, yes, for life, for us, for teaching and preaching and bringing the Holy Mass to all of those places in the world where it has not. We have to acknowledge that is true, but it remains a web, sticky, designed to trap, hard to cut. And thus we find ourselves, all of us, trapped in the web. All the world is now in the COVID cult because of it. Do you think you could cut your way out? You know its characteristics. You know that it is not a matter of medicine or science or safety or law, but of control and submission and depersonalization of enslavement. One sticky strand at a time. I suppose it's too late now for us to cut it, but maybe you could at least examine it, research it, alert others, spread the word, and speak up, and refuse to submit as best you may. They're afraid of us, you know, the elite. They hate us, but they also fear us, we the people. Oh, most, it is true, most Americans are stunned by the spider's bite. Most, but not all. And you have the wherewithal to resist, and it is your faith. Pray. Have you started to say the rosary every day? No? Then get out of the way. You have nothing to say. And I'm not saying this to be sort of conventionally pious, because it's about the time to put that into the sermon. No. It is supremely practical. This is the weapon. Someone said yesterday, and yes, I saw it on the internet, that Catholicism is a weaponized religion to have yours. Don't let yourself be sold, enslaved, acquired. Who's that secret bidder behind the scenes? It is Satan, the prince of this world, the big old spider. Look, the web is not yet woven, not entirely. You, precious you, your face, your name, your faith, your prayer. If only you knew your power. It is in your name, O Christian. They want you to believe they've cut the power. Se cortó la luz. But all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Who said that? His name is Jesus. God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.